It's always good to be with you folks, and y'all encourage me, and I try to encourage y'all. And it's a lot going on in this life, and things that's going on around about us. And I just praise the Lord for all He does for us, because it is discouraging in the life, the days that we live in. But I'm going to look at a few things and see what we can look at here today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. It says, "So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not." Lord, we feel like fainting sometimes, don't we? "But through our outward man perish, yet the inward man renewed day by day." I just pray that I think about that inward man being renewed. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." This is not really the message that the Lord laid on my heart today as I was coming over here, but I think many times we get caught up in this world of living, so to speak. I know I'm not really hot, but I want this coat off for some reason. But we get caught up in daily living. I know I find myself in this. It's very discouraging days to see our churches in the shape they're in, and realize that many people are not really caring about the things of God. And I fear that sometimes we get so caught up in our daily afflictions that we're not caring about the Word of God. We know the Scriptures. We know what it says. We've heard it for years. We're not going to find anything new. But living day to day, we find ourselves in such a shape that it's like, "Lord, we know all these truths that you said to us, but Lord, when are you coming? When are you going to take care of us? When is it going to take place?" And sometimes we get sidetracked. I'm going to go ahead and read into chapter 5 here a little bit too. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle will dissolve, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Sometimes we seem to forget that we got a brand new body coming our way. We've got that. This earthly tabernacle, this body that we're living in. I've lived in mine almost 66 years. If I make it to the 24th of March, I'll be 66 years old. I never would have really believed that I'd have made it that long, but I have. And I have a measure of health. I'm able to walk, I'm able to move, I'm able to do. Marilyn and I were sitting in the house the other day. It was icing up outside. The heat was on. It felt pretty good sitting there in the sofa. That's how it was. I leaned back in the recliner, and we were sitting there. She's on the other end of the recliner down there too. And I said, "We could be outside in the cold somewhere, but we got it. We're blessed. Praise God. We got it blessed." We all come up here today in a fairly decent automobile, had heat in it, praise God. I don't want to ride down the road in a cold car. I don't want to go back home to a cold house. And it ain't as hot as I'd like it to be in this church, but it's a whole lot better than standing right out in the yard. I mean, we sometimes, I know I gripe about it because sometimes it's 68 in the house rather than 72, and I got to get a blanket because I won't turn the thermostat up. But hey, I think about people that are freezing to death. Them people in Texas in bad shape. I mean, water coming down out the ceiling fan, that's not good. I mean, no electricity. And a lot of that is because of negligence on the part of our government. That's what happened with that. That's why it is the way it is. I was encouraged, this group of men I met with yesterday, wanting to try to help some people. I'd like to see that happen. Because I'm here to tell you, if we don't help one another, we ain't gonna have anything to help us. That's just how it is. And I'll be honest with you, it ain't just Christian people's hurting. We got people out in this world that's hurting too. And the only way we can win them to Christ is to be able to be a help to them. I mean, they freeze to death, it's about time to help somebody. That's just how that is. Now, verse 2, this is where we at. For this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Praise God, I like the idea of a glorified body. That sounds real good to me. I don't have to sleep, I won't be fat, I'll be able to eat 12 manner of fruit from the tree of life, all this kind of stuff. I kind of like that idea. That's a good deal. I like that. But I tell you what, when I get up in the morning and my back starts hurting, I stand in the wrong place, I'm groaning. I'm groaning, wanting that new body. So being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Praise God, we got salvation. Salvation's a big thing. What if we had to face all this stuff we're facing without Christ? What would we do? We have no hope. People say, well, y'all talk about that hellfire and damnation stuff. Well, you can bypass that real quick by receiving Jesus Christ your Savior. If you don't want to do that, then the hell's your baby. That's where you're headed. That's how that is. That sounds mean, brother. No, it's not mean. If Brother Bill tells me the bridge is out down here and I drive right on into it, that wasn't mean for him telling me the bridge was out. I'm just by stupidity that I went and drove in it. That's how that is. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon with mortality, might be swallowed up of life. One day, I'm telling you, this life that we sit back here and look at, we could look back and we could go back to verse 17. It says, for our light afflictions. They don't feel too light to me today. Because all this stuff going on here, that's going on here. We don't really know what's going to happen next week. We don't know what's going to happen when our government keeps going the way it does. But I know one thing. I told a fellow the other day, I said, about 1 millisecond after the rapture, you won't have to worry about that no more. That's over with. That's done. Christ is coming back to his church. And I think it's very soon. I've been preaching that for years. I've been hearing that for years. But I'm telling you, one day, we could wake up and we could be here and we could be in glory. I don't even know whether we believe it anymore or not. We hear it, but do we believe it? Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Earnest. Earnest money. What is that? You buy an automobile, you buy a house, you can put a down payment on that thing. God's done give us the earnest money. He gives the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. People say, Brother David, you mean you've flown down to South America by yourself? You don't feel alone? No, I got the Holy Spirit with me. I pray to him the whole time I'm going. Whole time I'm there, whole time I'm coming back. I don't necessarily like being by myself, but I ain't by myself. The only thing that bothers me is if I got killed in an airplane accident or I got killed down there some kind of way, I'd like my wife to know that they buried my carcass down there somewhere and I'm in glory and I ain't just walking around down there wondering where I'm at. Oh, she got to wonder where I'm at. But hey, We got the earnest of the Spirit. We ain't never walking alone. I drove over here today by myself. I was going to bring Mary Helen, but yesterday afternoon they called and said, we need somebody to come take care of these youngers, either you or Mama One. I said, Mama's on her way. I'd rather ride with Mary Helen, but riding by myself didn't bother me either, because I kind of like that bluegrass gospel I was listening to coming over here. It didn't bother me a bit. I liked it. I'm glad that car's got cruise in it, because if it don't, that bluegrass will make you drive a whole lot faster than what you had been driving. But I just kind of like bluegrass gospel. And maybe I shouldn't, but I like it. That's good stuff. And anything that brings honor and praise to God, I like that. And I even like praise and worship if it's right, but rock music ain't praise and worship. If we go praise God and worship Him, that's praise music. That's good stuff. But you can understand what it is. It ain't garbage. I get thinking about even secular music that we used to listen to in the 60s. At least it told a story. This stuff they listen to now, I don't even understand nothing of what it says. And what I do understand, I don't want to hear. We had a young man down there. He was helping me in the yard in Paraguay one time. And these young boys across the street had a birthday party, and they was playing American rap music. And it was cussing, I mean, to beat the band. That boy, they said, that ain't Spanish. I don't understand it. Tell me what it says. I said, you don't even need to know what that says. Just leave that off. Just don't learn that. That's not good. But it's amazing that our influence on the foreign country has been mostly negative. They learn how to cuss in English before they can speak. That's a real blessing that the Americans did that for them, right? They listen to that. Hey, man, that Hollywood stuff. Yeah. Therefore, we are always confident knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, in this body, we are absent from the Lord. I'm not in His presence right now, but He knows what I'm doing. He's very aware of what we're all doing. For we walk by faith. The name of this church is faith. Somebody had some faith to build this. It's built by faith. And just like, I'll just tell you a little kind of a joke on me, but yet at the same time it's not, it's the truth. I have never liked a Ford automobile. Although, probably if I was going to buy a new pickup now, I'd probably buy a Ford. But now, I'll tell you a little bit about that. There was this black preacher that come down to a little place in South Carolina where we live. And he come there, he's driving an old Plymouth. It's about a 49, 50 Plymouth. And this was in the 80s. I mean, that car 40 something years old. And it's smoking and it didn't look like it'd go down the road another mile. Well, he started a church down there and he did good. I mean, he got a big congregation. And actually, his sister bought a house that I'd built, and I went to his house to see him about something. And there in the three, he had a three-car garage there, and there was a brand-new Lincoln sitting in there, or it looked brand-new. I went in there and said, man, preacher, what are you doing old raggedy Ford sitting in here for? Giving him a hard time about that Ford automobile. He opened that hood. He said, look at him, I'm sure he said, and it was on Ford motors that got up there powered by Ford. He said, you need to scratch that Ford stuff off. This car here is powered by faith. He said, I don't care what it is. God can push a wheelbarrow out of the road if He wants to push it. He said, I prayed and I asked God to let this one run 300,000. He said, I got a new one ordered. It's got 290 something on it now. He says, God can do anything. Our problem is we don't trust God for those things that we need. Don't take what I'm saying wrong. I'd like to see this church full. But do I have the faith? Do you have the faith to see God move and bring back a revival that would fill it up? Because that's what it's going to take. We can't do it. Pastor cannot get out and visit. Y'all can't get out and visit. And we can't get it done. It's like that van in Paraguay. When I came back and I did some things and I joined the church in Middle Cross and in Stewart, I knew I'd lose support, and I did. But God's meeting needs anyway, despite the sourness of some of the churches and the way they do and the way they deal with things with missions. I am so glad that I do not have to report to a mission board or to a group of preachers that think they'd catch me out. Because I'm here to tell you something. I am not going to bow down to some man. I don't care who he is. I'm going to follow God. I'm not planning on following man. God can take care of things. He don't always take care of things when I want it done. But he takes care of things when it needs to be done. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are comforted, I say, that willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I done told my wife that I want that on my tombstone, absent from the body and present with the Lord. Because I'm telling you something. Ain't none of us in here young folks no more. And we done lived over half our life. We better be ready for the next life. And we all do it. We sat in here, we had fine fellowship. I enjoyed fellowshipping with everybody, and we talked about a lot of stuff. And I'm really not preaching the message that I kind of was going to preach today, but I just feel like that's where God would have us to go. But we get so caught up in what's going on today in our lives that we lose sight of what God has for us. We're so caught up in what the devil has put in our face, so to speak. Just like me, Brother Bill, I'm not going to give you a hard time. I'm going to give me one. I got things around my house that I'm man enough to do myself. I could get it done. But it's probably been a year to 2 years that I've been like, I don't feel like it today. I ain't going to do it. Put it off. If I keep putting it off, I ain't going to be able to do it. And it's stuff I could get done. But the devil lets us get so caught up on what we can't do that we don't do what we can do. I know you're gifted with computers. I'm not. I like to take that thing and throw it in the yard. I can't stand it. I got one. I use it sometimes. I got a smartphone in the car. I use it. But I really don't like it. I ain't never liked it. But I'm here to tell you, there's so much that we can do that we're not doing. And we focus on what we can't do. That's what we always do. I can't do that. Well, I know what God tells me. Son, if you get your backside up and go do it, you could do it. But you're too lazy to get up and do it. That's what the problem is. I said, well, my back hurts. Well, take some Tylenol. It won't hurt now. So I go. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Are we doing what God wants us to do today? Are we doing that? I think it'd be a wonderful thing to, since the preacher cannot be here, that we take the service to him. I'm going to encourage y'all something. Y'all get mad at me if you want to. But some of these days or some of these Sundays that you don't feel like you can meet here, meet in a home. Meet in a home. You don't have to necessarily be right here in this church house. He can't be here. You can meet in his home, be encouraged to him. That's just something that can be done. I'm telling you, if things continue to go as it goes now in this country, the federal government hates churches. But they can't stop us in our homes. They can't stop me from praying. They can't stop me from reading my Bible. They can't stop that. We may have to go into an underground church. We hate China and the way China is being taken over the country. But the church is thriving in China. Why? Because of persecution. They had to go underground. We want to be accepted of him. Why do we want to be accepted of him? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There's a whole lot of people don't understand this verse is in the Bible. I'm saved, praise God. I'm going to ride right on into glory. Everything's lovely. But we'll be judged for everything we don't do for him. We will be. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Ain't got nothing to do with salvation. Man, that's been settled at Calvary. Praise God, we ain't got to worry about salvation no more. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. This group of guys I met with yesterday, many of them are not saved. Some of them are. But what can we do? They want to help the community. Our help to them is, listen, fellas, if it's as bad as y'all talking about this could be, you better get born again because you could be in hell directly because Christ could come back and you ain't going to have a chance no more. And they go say to you, brother, you mean? No, I'm not mean. But I'm telling you, if you don't get born again, you're going to hell. Period. They ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. They can talk about that's mean. They can talk about that's ugly. And I understand the first time I meet a fella, I don't necessarily tell him, brother, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. That might not be my first thing I'm going to say. But it ain't going to be too far down the road after I get to know him a little bit. I'm going to let him know that's how it is. I like hanging around mechanic shops. I'm sorry. I love automobiles. Body shops, mechanic shops, all this kind of stuff. I got a couple of them I walk in now. The first thing I walk in a blue jean, pocket tee, whatever I got on. You know what my name is? Preacher. They respect me. And fellas, a lot of preachers have said to me, said, man, you mean you like to hang around them old nasty shops? Some of them fellas be smoking and drinking everything else. I said, but I ain't. Some of them been saved too. They don't do that no more. They've been born again because I wasn't too good to go in there. I said, but I know what your problem is. You like to go over to the country club where all of them dress good and smell good and look good, but they drank the same liquor them other fellas drank. We want things to look good. But I believe the Lord said this. Full of dead men's bones. Whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. All this look good stuff don't mean nothing. Kind of like one of the mechanic friends of mine told me one time. He said, I'm going to tell you something. The chrome don't get you home. You take an automobile and fill it up with chrome, put pretty rims and everything on there, and the motor's about to fall out on the ground, it ain't going to carry you home. But it looks good. It looks real good. But the chrome don't get you home. It ain't how it looks, it's how it is. What's in your heart? Are you saved? There are a lot of people that are sitting in our churches that are not saved. My pastor and I talk about that all the time. We believe that. There's a lot of people that come to church on Sunday morning in Middle Cross. They are lost as a goose. They ain't got a clue. They ain't got a clue what's going on. And it's sad that. It's sad to drop off into hell from a church pew. That's not good. We persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I trust also are made manifest to your own conscience. For we commend not ourselves again to you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. You hear that? Glory in appearance. I had a pastor one time. He said, appearances make a big difference. I understand that. I got where I started wearing these bow ties. Sometime I don't put that on. If I was preaching in South America this morning, I'm gonna tell you what I would have on. I'd have a square tail shirt on. I call that a fat boy shirt. It hangs over your britches and hangs down so it covers your belly up. That's a fat boy shirt. And it ain't no tie, and it's open collar. But at 110 degrees in the shade, I ain't putting no tie around my neck. Forget about that. I ain't gonna do it. I've been ridiculed about that. Man, you supposed to have coat and tie on. I said, good, you come preach in it. I had one down there trying, and he liked to kill himself. He come down there, I'm interpreting for him. I had my fat boy shirt on, and I'm interpreting. I said, man, you better take that coat off before you die. He done turned red, and everything on him was wet. But it ain't about the appearances. It's what's in the heart. Florentino down there, we wanted to do some prayer cards for him. I said, Florentino, maybe you might ought to put on a tie. Them fellas in the States like them tie. He said, I don't wear one down here. Why would I want to wear one on my prayer card? He's right. I don't wear a tie. I did talk him into putting on a Paraguayan dress shirt. It's a crocheted thing. They're pretty. He put one of them on. I bought him and his wife. She had her a skirt and a blouse out of that stuff, and he had the shirt. That's what their prayer cards got. But I'm going to tell you something. Florentino gets on that little motorcycle, and he goes out there to see people, and he meets them where they're at. It ain't about appearances. We got a problem in Paraguay. He done led so many to the Lord in another satellite church that they need a building over there, because the little house they've been meeting in is too little now. People are getting saved. They might not be getting saved here, but they're getting saved. People are getting saved in this world. His phone rings off the hook. If he's off the radio for some reason and don't go preach on the radio today, where you at? Why, I didn't hear you today preaching. Hey, I'm talking about the Catholic priest calls him sometime. I like hearing you preach. I was down there one time, and he preached one of the meanest messages he could ever preach on Catholicism, and he got an outline from me. And I wasn't really wanting to think he ought to preach that on the radio, but he did it. Got done with the broadcast, the Catholic priest out there in the yard. I said, that can't be good. And you know, he told me, I really appreciate that message you preached today. I ain't never quite heard it quite like that. Catholics are getting saved, folks. They're starving for the truth. They're starving for the truth. For we commend ourselves again to you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that with somewhat answer to them to glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is God, or whether we be sober, it's for your cause. I'm going to leave you with this today. Verse 17, chapter 4, verse 17, 4:17, 2 Corinthians. For our light affliction. You heard me? Light. It's an easy thing. Is but for a moment worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light afflictions. What's the other brother y'all had to chair for? What's his name that you had to chair for?
Brother Albert.
Brother Albert got in this pulpit and he felt weak and he had to get out and all that kind of stuff. You know what? That's a light affliction. Brother Donald at the house and ain't able to go and ain't able to do. That's one of them light afflictions. Bill would like to do a whole lot more than he does. Bro, that's a light affliction. Ain't gonna be long. We all gonna be able to leap and run and do all we want to do. We ain't gonna never get tired again. We'll be in glory. We're so sad when some of our saints of God, we put roll them in here and we do a funeral for them. And you'll see me shed tears. But you know why I'm shedding tears? I ain't shedding tears because of them. I'm jealous. You hear me? I'm jealous. He's done going on and he's already experiencing what I know what this Bible says about what he's experiencing. And I'm still down here in this wicked world, got to fight the devil every day. I'm tired of it. I'm growing weary of it. It ain't that I don't want to preach. I enjoy preaching. I enjoy being with you folks today. I really didn't preach. I kind of rattled around a little bit. But let me encourage you. Look at the light affliction in comparison to what we're going to have. I might have said this before, or y'all may have told you, but I've seen saints of God die in Paraguay. And I'm thinking about, if that ain't a rags to riches story, there will never be one. I remember Veronica. She was an older lady. She wasn't really all that old. She probably wasn't, but in early 60s maybe. But she looked like she was over 100. And I was in a hotel here in the States somewhere. I'd been back on furlough, and Ramon, my preacher boy, down there called me. And usually in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, somebody call you and they speak in Spanish. Somebody's messing with you. But I didn't catch that until I found out with Ramon. He said, Veronica's gone. She's over on the other side. And I was thinking about that thing. She lived in a little old house down there that they'd made out of plastic and scrap wood and all that kind of stuff. And she had some little bricks in there where she'd build a little fire, and she'd set her little tea kettle on there to make warm water to drink mate. That's something they drink in cooler weather. And that morning she had passed on over and went into glory. I said, you mean to tell me she went from that shack to a mansion? I was in a Friday morning meeting here not too long ago, and we have a men's Bible study on Friday mornings when weather permits us, and it's in a body shop, folks. It ain't in a church house. We got a group of men in there, and they're from all kind of different denominations, but we in this King James Bible. We can't go too far wrong when we're in it. And one of them was in there praising God about he was glad that God allowed him to get up and put his feet on the floor this morning and give him one more day. And that's wonderful to get one more day. But I said, brother, let me ask you something. What if you woke up this morning and your feet was on gold? How would that be? Praise God, I ain't got to put up with it no more. My feet's on gold, and I don't have to deal with what I got to deal with no more. I'm done in glory. Ain't that a blessing? Those saints of God that's going on before us, they got it made. We the ones having trouble. We miss them, but they got it made. Brother Bill, pray for us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the time together. Thank you for the message today, for the wise. Help us to take it with us, dear Father. I pray that you will help us in our service for thee, dear Lord. I pray that you bless your people, take us home, dear Father. Give us a great week, and pray for Brother Mahan again, dear Lord. I pray that you'll touch him, lift him up, dear Lord. Brother Wise's family there, with his daughter-in-law, I pray that you'll help him find the cause, the reason, the Father, of the emergency room visit last night, dear Father. Pray that you'll bless the family, bless all our families, dear Father. I pray that you'll keep us well, but help us to reach the lost, dear Father. Thankful for what you give us. Amen.
Amen.